This is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance from CFG Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Travis provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Welcome to Navigating Your Retirement. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm here with our host. The man with the plan is Travis Chance. Travis, how have you been? It's a crazy world out there right now, isn't it?
Tony, I am just thawing out. This is nuts. Holy cow. Well, I know we joked about it. Keith and I joked about it because we, on our video that we did, our quarterly review, you know, we were talking about how, I was talking about how cold it was down here and how, you know, it wasn't up there. And I'm like, well, I would certainly like for you to take whatever weather this is and move that on back north to Minnesota. Holy cow. We got 4 to 5 inches of snow. It was in the teens. The wind chill was almost like 10 degrees.
Wow.
Tony, I'm from Georgia. We're not geared for this.
Yeah. Well, you had more snow than we do. I had to break out my frosty north hunting gear. Yeah, we didn't get that. We have hardly had any snow here.
Oh my goodness. We got it, and we got it all at once. I mean, within about 12 hours, we got 4 inches of snow. Oof. So, that was rough for a guy who literally we're used to 50 to 70 degree weather, even on Christmas Eve. You know, we don't have to wear jackets, but very few times throughout the year. And you didn't walk outside without one last week. Holy cow.
Yeah, it reminds you of the time you visited Minnesota in the winter, didn't it?
Yeah, honestly, it was about like that. And there was a good 6 inches of snow on the ground.
Crazy.
And but I will say, I will give credit where credit's due. You guys drive a lot better in the snow than some of my neighbors and some of my listeners. I'm sorry, guys. I got to say that because, holy cow. You know, I know we're not used to it, but shnikes, you know, we needed some salt on the road and some snow scrapers and ice scrapers, something fierce. But we made it through. So that's all that counts.
Yeah.
So hopefully everybody was unscathed.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with that much snow down there. You guys aren't used to getting the snow. So,
well, I think the main driver for me is, you know, when you in the South, all right, and this is something for everybody listening going forward. In the South, I read the best set of instructions for driving on ice that I have ever heard, and it's in a language that we can all down here understand. Tony, let me tell you what that is. There was a meme that was going around Facebook, and it said, if you're from the South, instructions on how to drive in the snow and ice. It said, imagine you were driving a crock pot full of soup without a cover in the back seat of your car to a church picnic. And at the same time, you had a gallon of sweet tea with no top on it. And you had a dozen eggs in the back that were just rolling around in a bowl on the floor. If you can get to that church picnic without breaking an egg, spilling tea, or spilling that crock pot of soup, you have officially learned how to drive on ice in Georgia. That's how you do it. You don't come to a sudden stop. You don't push the brakes when you hit ice. It's just, you know, you're slow and steady. You give yourself plenty of time to stop. And you know what? You're probably going to be okay. But when you get to a patch of ice and your first reaction is to turn the wheel or slam on brakes, you got problems.
Yeah. I love that analogy. That's awesome. I'm going to use that.
Hey, put it in language that we can understand. And you know what? Church picnic, sweet tea, you got me.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Especially in Georgia. That's what people are used to. Sweet tea, church picnics, that crock pot full of, that reminds me of a horrible story where my mother-in-law put this pan of meat with au jus sauce in the back of our
au jus
sauce. Yeah, the, you know, kind of like what you dip a French dip sandwich into. And she put it in the back of our Saturn station wagon, a good Tennessee made vehicle there. It was made in Tennessee. We were driving to a potluck with it, or a picnic, and that stuff, she didn't put the lid on it right, and that stuff went all over our car. We traded the car in. That juice ran down into the wheel well where the spare tire was kept back there. We cleaned that thing out, tore it apart, did every piece of cleaning, put deodorizers in there, and it stunk the rest of the life of that car.
Yeah, once it's in there, it's tough to get out.
Oh, it went everywhere, and it was, the smell was so bad. It was spoiled meat smell. Yeah, like,
you know, I mean, you know, but it's one of those things. It's like, hey, honey, you know, I know we want to drive the life use out of this car, but might be time to go ahead and trade her in early.
Yeah, we did our best clean, and then took it in and got our money for. Right, and we're like, yeah, that's somebody else's problem now.
You probably crushed that one.
Yeah. So, Travis, we're talking today. You said you wanted to talk about what's been going on. You had Keith Gangle. You did a video with Keith about kind of a market update.
Well, I wanted to give a just kind of a brief overview of what we discussed on our quarterly update. But speaking of things that were not like going to a church picnic, everyone probably had a pretty bumpy ride this week with the DeepSeek news back on Monday, and as we like to kid around, the Deep State app from the Chinese. So, you know, Tony, we talk about staying calm, about planning, about, you know, trying to make sense of the craziness that just keeps coming up. Because, I mean, let's face it, we live in a 30-second news cycle. It's not even a 24-hour news cycle anymore. It's a 30-second news cycle. It's like, if it bleeds, it leads. And if it does, you're going to see it on everybody's podcast, everybody's Facebook feed. You're going to see it on every news channel. And then all of a sudden, it's gone, right? And I think one of the things that a lot of people saw yesterday or Monday, because we record on Tuesdays, one of the things that people saw was there was this huge dust up over the fact that there's a company in China that says that they can basically, and I'm just simplifying it, right, they can essentially do what Nvidia and some of these other companies in the US can do cheaper, more efficiently, less power. And can they do it? I have no idea. They are claiming it. They're not proving it. They are claiming it. And then all of a sudden, everyone decided that, even though that, in my opinion, Nvidia, that is where it's at when it comes to the technology, comes to the innovation. I mean, for me, that's going to be your bellwether for AI, because it's not what they have said, it's what they have proven they can do. But everybody in the market just all of a sudden was like, oh, you know, we're going to pull the ripcord. Well, and now all of a sudden, you know, Nvidia, we'll see what happens. I don't think it'll be down long, but the point is, you can't make decisions, and every time the plane hits some turbulence, and I'm talking about your portfolio, Your first gut reaction can't be to just walk to the door and pull the ripcord, right? That's not how you get where you want to go.
No.
That's how you end up basically in a life raft by yourself out in the middle of the ocean, wait for somebody to come rescue you because you made a mistake or made a very rash decision, and that totally impacted the rest of your journey and the rest of your life. So the main focus of today is what is truly going on. Fact, not fiction. Economic market update for 2025. So let's talk about where we've been and kind of where we're going.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, somebody sneezes in China and it affects our market. And a new company says they're doing things better in our market. Dives. That is
so
weird.
All of a sudden it's like, oh, well, the U.S. must be the worst place in town. Yeah. No, look at China's economy and you tell me what you think. So let's talk about where we've come from. You know, 2022, coming off of a strong 2021, coming out of COVID, 2022, we had some some challenges. You know, interest rates were shooting up, you know, going from all-time lows back to, you know, in the 3-4% range. The Federal Reserve was raising interest rates every time he turned around. We were darn near in recession. I mean, it was just terrible. And, you know, markets responded accordingly. Everything was down except commodities. I think commodities were only positive that year. And here we are, you know, coming out of 22, we go into 23. Everyone's expecting us. It was, you know, at one point there was an article that I read that said 100% chance of recession. 2023, it's coming. 2022 was just a head fake. It's coming. What happened? We wound up having actually a pretty good year, recovered the majority, if not all, from 2022 sell-off. So basically, December 31st, and it's kind of weird that it happened this way. December 31st, 2023, basically we broke even for a two-year period, right? Down in 22, we're at all-time highs in 21. We get it back in 23. And 24... everyone, once again, it's like, oh, this has got to be the year because, you know, markets were good this year. So it's got to be good. Or it's got to be bad for 2024. And 2024 was actually a pretty solid year.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I think what that tells us is, guys, for as much as you see these pundits, these analysts, these market you know, staples, if you will, when you turn on the news, they're giving their best guess, but sometimes their best guess is wrong. I think what is more important to look at is where's the economy, where's the market going? So let's talk about like GDP, for instance. Okay, GDP coming out of COVID, like I said, you know, it seemed really high because we had such a really bad go of it first, you know, Q1, Q2 of 2020, and then since then we've been staying around the 2-3% on the GDP growth chart, and that's good growth. That's good economic growth. Now, that doesn't mean it's a guarantee that we're going to stay high forever. It just means that right now the overall consumer and the health of the U.S. economy is good. And if you look at around the world, there's a lot of countries that can't say that. There's a lot of countries that actually have gone through recession in the time that we have been experiencing good growth and good economic markets. So, you know, while I do certainly agree, you know, we're pretty much all a global economy at this point. I also would say that we are the best house in a bad neighborhood when it comes to the overall driving forces and the economic forces in the world today. One of the things that has really led that charge for us is the fact that even though we have seen unemployment tick up just slightly over the last year or so, Tony, we're basically fully employed. I mean, I know it could be a struggle in some areas. I'm not saying it's, you know, as to use the church analogy, it's not gravy everywhere, but or the church picnic analogy, that's not gravy everywhere, but it is pretty, in most cases, it's pretty much if you want a job, you can get a job. So, you know, unemployment's around 4%. That's a 50-year, we're right in the range of the 50-year low. We're lower than a 25-year median average for unemployment. So we're in pretty decent economic shape. And when people have money, they do what? We're a consumption-based economy, right? It's not like we're on the manufacturing forefront anymore. We buy things, right? That's our niche is we buy things, right? Consumers, you know, China, there's a reason why they have a surplus on us for a trade. It's because they ship a lot more things to us than we ship to them. So what does that mean? Well, if consumers are healthy, they have a job, even though inflation's a bit elevated still. What does that mean? Well, it means companies are going to make more money. That means their earnings are going to be greater. And if you want a pretty good estimate on why that is, it's because as we progress, even though inflation's higher, we're still confident, and that's from being able to find a job, get a job, hold a job. We're growing the economy because we're still spending money. Now, last year, we had a pretty I would say substantial growth estimate was around 10%. I think this year's probably going to be around the same, right? There are some people that are estimating around 15% growth to earnings in the S&P over the next 12 months. I kind of agree with Keith. We talked about it on the video. It's probably, and if you want more information, folks, maybe check out our video. We'll be sending it out on email soon. But I think that could mean, could be a little overly optimistic. Now, whether it happens or not, it remains to be seen. I think this year could be a possibility where we see a rotation, Tony, because you and I've talked about it. And I know, you know, I know a lot of those out there sitting there listening, and, you know, they've enjoyed the growth of Apple and the growth of Microsoft and, you know, the big Mag 7, as they call them. And so have we. But do I think that they're going to continue on that same trajectory, Tony? I don't think that's the case. I think what you could probably see is a rotation where you're going to see more like your Johnson & Johnson, your blocking and tackling the fundamentals, I guess, the fundamental stocks. You're probably going to see the, maybe the bottom 490 start to spread out a bit because they really haven't participated as much over the last couple of years. And you could probably see the Mag 7 pull back. Does that mean that it's going to be a terrible market? No, I don't think it is. I think you're probably going to see, you're going to have to be wise in what you pick if you do it yourself. But I think the market could overall be up, I think, a pretty decent amount. I don't want to give an expectation of return, but I do think if someone put me in a position where I had to answer and said, do you think negative or positive a year from now? I think the answer is probably positive. Inflation. Tony, I don't know about you, but in Minnesota, has inflation come down? Do you feel any less pain when you go to the grocery store?
No. Well, I mean, you know, the eggs are going up because of the bird flu. I haven't really noticed anything. I mean, prices aren't going to come down except for on televisions ever. So I still feel it.
Televisions. Isn't it funny how electronics, you know, I know we started off, and this is kind of typical of you and I, we started off talking about groceries and all of a sudden we're talking about televisions.
Well, yeah.
Maybe that's because of the NFL, maybe the Super Bowl. We'll get into that in a second. But isn't it funny how electronics, you know, it's like, I remember when the flat screen TVs first came out, right? Mm-hmm. And the latest and greatest, you know, at that time it was like, oh my goodness, it was plasma. And this thing was heavy. It felt like
yep.
a couple hundred pounds.
We had a plasma TV.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was huge.
And it was like a 42-inch for like $1,500.
Yeah, and you couldn't lay it down or you couldn't watch it or you had to let it sit for a while. And now it's like these things weigh, they are clearer. I mean, almost like looking at a mirror of someone. Yeah. They are so clear and they weigh nothing.
And they cost nothing.
And
but TVs are the only thing where the price comes down once it goes higher. Everything else.
No, computers. Because
I mean, you got to think electronics in general,
because computers, I remember whenever I was, you know, I was in school 30 years ago, you know, the first computer, this thing was heavy as a brick and had the computing capacity. Right now, my iPhone is faster than the fastest computer, you know, in that time. And that's something you carry around in your pocket.
True.
So, yeah, over time, electronics, those types of things, those really, really fall off a cliff. But like you said, Tony, unfortunately, things like staples, groceries, unless there is a bad economic event, they're typically not going to come down in price as much. So, but the good news is inflation has tempered a bit.
It has.
You know, we're around 2.9% as of last reading.
Yep.
So that's going well.
Yeah.
And I think that just goes to reinforce what I was saying earlier about if inflation is moderating, people have a job who want a job, you know, hopefully some of the energy policies can bring fuel prices, energy prices back down, continue to keep putting downward pressure on inflation, and people now have more money in their pocket, then I think that kind of stands to reason. That's why I say we're a consumption-based economy. I think, you know, you're going to see that continue to move us forward. I don't really see us in danger anytime in the next 6 to 12 months for a recession. Now, there are analysts out there. I don't want to mention their names, but there's a guy right now that's like, we're already in a recession right now. That's what his opinion is. He is a huge bond expert. He's like, we're already in recession. I guess it's like everything else. It's relative. It's what you're talking about. In his mind, that particular part of the market, I agree. You know, bonds have been absolutely terrible the last few years. And if that's your perspective, then that's your prerogative. So, but I do think one of the things, Tony, we are going to have to mix in that could cause some volatility along the way, because even though I'm expecting positive for 2024 or 2025, I'm not saying we're going to be without volatility, because I think that is certainly coming. And I think that's going to come from how does the Fed telegraph what it's going to do going forward? Because think about it. Inflation's coming down. We've got basically full employment. Well, what are the Fed's two mandates? Employment and inflation. Well, both of them are pretty much on an even keel. So, you know, are they going to continue to cut rates? There were some expectations it could be as high as 6 rate cuts this year. Probably, I think that's a little pie in the sky. Maybe we get 1, maybe we get 2, maybe we get 0. But I do think that's something we're going to have to contend with, could cause some volatility. So all of this also has to key in off of what does the new administration, and obviously new president, new Congress, in session, going, it seems like at, you know, Mach 5 as of, you know, January 20th. So right now, I think one of the things we could see also volatility. Tariffs, what's that going to mean? Do we go too far? Do we do it just enough? I think tax cuts, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, I think could be extended, also a positive. So basically, folks, I'm trying to give you some ideas of why things are probably not as bad as they seem. Just because the market sells off for one day does not mean that all of a sudden the trend is broken and we're going back the other way. All that means is you need to have a plan so that you know, hey, if the market does go down, does that mean I'm not going to be able to live? Does that mean I'm not going to be able to pay my bills? No, that's not what that means. That just means that is normal market volatility that we have to remember. It's going to happen. There are no straight ups. You know, the market goes down like an elevator and it comes up like an escalator. It has periods where it goes down really quickly and then it continues to grind, and sometimes higher, sometimes lower. But overall, you know, that's just trends, and that's normal market gyrations. It is not the end of the world. Don't listen to all the Chicken Littles out there and think the sky's falling every time you turn around. So, folks, one of the things that I would encourage you to do is if you're sitting out there, you're listening to the sound of my voice, if you're a current client, thank you for listening. I look forward to seeing you soon. We're going to be sending out our quarterly video here very shortly. You know, please, if you have any questions, anything that you need from us, give us a call. If you are a first-time listener, or if you have been forwarded this show, or if you're a follower of our podcast, and you are out there doing it yourself, or you don't have an advisor that is taking the time to build a plan to your specifications, then that's why you need to take this opportunity to give us a call, 877-269-0839. Let us help you make sense of what's going on in this crazy world and this crazy market. And don't forget that you got to live in retirement. Don't worry constantly. Having a plan doesn't mean that you're confined. It means you're free to go out and enjoy yourself. And that's what retirement should be about. Retirement by design, not by default. 877-269-0839.
All right. Well, Travis, great show today. A great look at what's going on and what we can expect with the market and that market update. I encourage our listeners, as you just did, to go out and check that out. But great show, listeners. Thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Navigating Your Retirement with our host, Travis Chance.
Thank you for listening to Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Travis at CFG Wealth Management. Call 877-269-0839. or visit them online at navigatingretirementradio.com. Advisory services are offered by CFG Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Georgia. Insurance products and services are offered through TL Chance, Inc., an affiliated company.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.